14. Mark chapter 14. The person who wrote the lyrics of that song was concerned about forgetting what happened at Gethsemane, forgetting about the agony that Jesus endured for our salvation, and resultingly forgetting the love that was demonstrated at that moment. And he said, to make sure that I don't forget Gethsemane or Christ's agony or his love for me, take me to Calvary. We're going to look at his time in Gethsemane, which this songwriter thought was so important to never forget. And of course, Jesus went to Gethsemane, which was a garden. It was a garden filled with olive trees, which rich with significance. And when I imagine kind of graphically how Jesus' life looked immediately prior to Gethsemane and how it looked after Gethsemane, I picture it like this: before Gethsemane, at Gethsemane, after Gethsemane. The before, he was surrounded by people, and we know that, you know, there were tens of thousands of people at times following Jesus. It was so chaotic. And even just two chapters before the one we're going to read, it was still chaotic, although it was a much smaller crowd. You had the teachers of the law there. You had the Pharisees there. You had the Sadducees there. You had the disciples there. They're wanting to kill him. And so even though it had narrowed a little bit, it had not narrowed all that much. And then just before this story, the Bible says Jesus went to Bethany, to the home of Simon the leper. And the crowd dwindled a whole lot more when he went to Bethany. Bethany is just east of Jerusalem, where the Garden of Gethsemane is. And he went there, I think, very intentionally to be with somebody who was a leper. And there, of course, he was anointed by, all that we know, a sinful woman. And we can debate all we want about who Simon the leper was and who the sinful woman was, but if there's no debate, he was a leper and she was a sinful woman. And so it very much narrowed. And then he told the disciples, go prepare the Passover meal. I want to enjoy it with you. And it was down to 13 at that point. So from tens of thousands to hundreds to maybe a couple dozen in Bethany to just the 13 of them. And then he said, I need three of you to come and pray with me. And it got down to then four. It says in verse 32 of Mark chapter 14, they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul's overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here, keep watch. And then he went a little further and he fell to the ground. He prayed if it was possible that the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, everything's possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the body's weak. Once more he went away and he prayed the same thing. And when he came back, because their eyes were heavy, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They didn't know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let's go. Here comes my betrayer. So it went from further down from four to one. And there it was, just Jesus in Gethsemane with his Father. You know, the word crucible gets thrown around a lot, and this was his crucible moment. This is where he had to decide, do I do this or not? And there was agony in that decision because he knew what was ahead. He knew the craziness once he got through this crucible moment, how it was going to go nuts. And he decided through his time with God, let's do it. That's why we should never forget Gethsemane. Because at that time, he had to think, do I do God's will for the people that God loves, or do I do what I want to do, what my flesh is telling me to do? We should never forget Gethsemane. I looked up the word crucible, and I'll just read you one definition for it. A situation of severe trial in which different elements interact, leading to the creation of something new. There were different elements interacting there at Gethsemane. And he went through that crucible and said, let's go. We're here today because he said, let's go. Let's pray. God, I pray that we will never forget Gethsemane. And we have to go to Calvary every Sunday. I love that we do. Because Calvary was a crazy place. It was nutty. It was out of control. It was a free-for-all. There were people gambling for his clothes and laughing and making a mockery and making jokes. It was spitting and cursing and punching. And it was just so out of control. And Jesus willingly walked into that because he had to go through Gethsemane. He had to go through that crucible. He had to go through that olive press. And Father, I'm thankful he did. And because he did, and he endured the agony, and he decided out of love for us he would sacrifice himself, we now have the opportunity to worship you, to crown you and to crown him as our Lord. I'm thankful that Jacob's baptism, like every other baptism, they ask what his good confession is, and he said, Jesus is my Lord. And that's where the roars come, because he had been through the crucible of decision also. Would I take the man who wore the crown of thorns and crown him as my king and as my Lord? I pray, Father, that we will crown him now, as the song we just sang called us to. King of my life, I crown thee now. Yours is the glory we want to pursue. We love you and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.